So, good afternoon. Thanks for your time. I know it's quite a heavy after lunch, and we have a 50-minute talk. So, today we're going to talk about Kubernetes networking with SRv6 and ContiPPP. It's another way to think about Kubernetes networking. My name is Ahmed Abdesalam. I work for Cisco Systems. I have with me Rasto, who works for Pantheon, and I have Merip, who works for Intel. And this is going to be a joint talk. So our agenda for today, we will go very briefly on Kubernetes networking. Fortunately, we have two talks before, so this part was covered. And we will talk about SRv6, some introduction to the technology, and also how it can work with Kubernetes networking. And Rasto will cover the ContiVPP part. And Merik will go into the acceleration of SRv6 using the Intel SmartNIC. So Kubernetes networking, just in one slide. So Kubernetes doesn't do anything for networking. It basically offloads this function to CNI plugins. And those CNI plugins are supposed to do two main functions. The first one is connectivity. So when you create a new Kubernetes pod, the job of the CNI plugin is basically to create a some interface inside the pod, connect this interface to the network fabric, can be either vSwitch or whatever, and allocate an IP address to this pod. The second functionality is to make this pod reachable through the cluster. So CNI plugin needs to do just these two things, different technologies and different ways to do it. And for the IP addressing, basically, all your Kubernetes pods needs IP addresses. And unfortunately, we don't have enough IPv4 addresses anymore in Europe. This was a talk in RIB 78, where they projected when they expect the IPv4 addresses to be exhausted. And actually, in Europe, it was supposed to finish by January 2020, but 3 months before, they announced they already assigned the last prefix, so we don't have any IPv4 anymore in Europe. Some service providers they do have, but RIB, who assigns IPv4 address, they don't have anymore. So the solution for this is to use IPv6. So and we are covering three main problem statements. Some people might not agree with the problem statement. Some people might not agree with our solution, but this is at least the problem statement and the solution from our point of view. And the second problem, when we use IPv6 for container, for addressing, giving address to Kubernetes pods, we will need to implement all of the use cases of Kubernetes, like bot-to-bot communication, network policy, services, service chaining, ingress, and communication between clusters. And the question is that, do we need to do these use cases in IPv6 the same way we do it in IPv4, or should we think about them in more IPv6 native way? And from our point of view, that SRv6, I will explain what is SRv6 later, can provide a solution for this problem statement. The third one is the I/O for the pods. Some kind of workload, they need very fast I/O. You need to have a lot. Your pods require to process like a lot of packets per second. So how would you provide this I/O to the Kubernetes pods? You have several options in the data plane. You can use the kernel forwarding. You can use something like EPPF with XDP. You can use something like VBP with DBDK. And from our point of view, again, for this, we think that VBP is a solution for that, or you can have also some way, depends on your use case, you can have a kind of accelerated way to use VBP. And on the right, I show some numbers of some comparison between the forwarding of the Linux kernel compared to VBP, and in the second diagram is the VBP when you use it as a software or when you offload it to a SmartNIC. So what is SRv6? SRv6 basically is a source routing mechanism. So you define the path or the forwarding path of the packet at the source. how you do it, you attach to the packet a list of instruction or a list of endpoints that needs to process this packet. These endpoints, we call them segments or SRv6 segment. And each segment should have a segment ID. And segments can have two different meanings. One meaning can be a topological segment, like going to node 1 or 2 or 3 before reaching the destination. Or it can have like a service meaning or NFV meaning by going to function 1 or service network function 1 and 2 and 3 before reaching the destination. And what SRv6 can provide you, first, is scalability. Since you push the packet path at the source, you basically remove all of the states in you, from the fabric of your networking. And with SRv6, you can eliminate some of the protocol you already use, like for traffic engineering use cases, if you need to traffic engineer inside your network fabric, for some use cases like service chaining and for overlay. And it gives you end-to-end connectivity. It has segment routing, has two implementations, basically one for the MPLS data plane, and we will not go in this direction, which basically maps this segment identifier to MPLS label. The second one is for the IPv6 data plane, where each segment is mapped as an IPv6 address, and you add to the packet a routing extension header that carries a list of this IPv6 addresses. Before explaining how it works, this is for the ecosystem. So SRv6 has a very rich ecosystem. So when you decide to implement SRv6, you are not in your own. So you have support from network vendor, network equipment manufacturer. You have support in SmartNIC. You have Immersion Silicon. You have an open source. And you have some NFV as well. So SRv6 is defined basically as an RFC, as a draft in the IETF, and basically it defines what is a network SRv6 network programming. The SRv6 network programming is a model where you encode in the packet the processing bus. And as we said, this will be implemented as a number of segments. Just to give more details, what is an SRv6 segment or a SID is basically an IPv6 address, which divided in two parts. The first is the locator, which node should process the packet, and the second one is the function, which function I should execute in the packet at this node. And here how your packet looks like. So you get your normal payload, can be IPv4, IPv6, TCP, UDP, whatever, and then you encapsulate this packet into an IPv6 encapsulation. And in this IPv6 encapsulation, you carry a list of segments that basically define the path of the packet. And each node, when processes this packet, it will update the destination address with the next node that should process the packet. So here I have, I need the packet before reaching the destination to go through three nodes inside the network or inside my Kubernetes cluster. So I will encode the IDs for this node, and every time I process the packet, I just update the active segment pointer to be the next segment and which be carried in the destination address of the packet. And this is how the segment routing header is defined in the IETF. So basically, it has some common fields as any routing extension header plus the SID list or the path of the packet, which encoded as IPv6 addresses. And there are two main types of behavior that you can execute in the packet. The first one, what we call the head end, is where you do the encapsulation. So you have two flavors. Either you want to do layer 2 networking, so you encode the layer 2 frame inside the SRv6 encapsulation, or you do layer 3 by encoding the IPv4 or the IPv6 traffic. And the other behaviors, these are the one you execute on the node defined in the packet header for several use cases. Some use cases like traffic engineering, some for just overlay if you need to connect to Kubernetes worker nodes, and some other for service chaining. And this is just, I will give two examples. One is for overlay. So I have considered this green overlay as your as two Kubernetes pods. So they need to speak to each other through the network fabric. So this is a Kubernetes node, and the other one is another on another Kubernetes node. So basically, you encapsulate the packet into a SRv6 encapsulation. But for some use cases, someone might need to do some traffic engineering inside the fabric. So you get your Kubernetes node connected to a data center fabric, and in this data center fabric, there are some I need to take a faster bus to go to the other node, or a low latency bus. So you can enforce this kind of bus by adding a new segment to this. So the first the